Today's reading is in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in his adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." And after 6 days Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, "Why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" And he said to them, "Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him." Jesus issues in this text today a very strong challenge, a challenge that says that if you want to follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross in order to follow him. That means we have to be willing to set aside some of our own desires and our own ambitions in order to take up the cross of Jesus, take up the will of Jesus in our lives. That may mean that some suffering comes along with it. That may mean that we lose some things that we may value in this world. Maybe it's relationships, maybe it's status, reputation, could be all sorts of things. But if we say, "I'm going to be a disciple of Christ," but we're not willing to pay the price to be a disciple, then they are empty words. They will not benefit us. We will not go the extra mile. We will not go the whole way. And we will certainly not finish the race. In verse 35, he says, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And that seems like a strange statement to make, considering that people go to great lengths to extend their lives. Sometimes, you know, we go through medical treatments that are torturous because they might extend our lives a little bit. A little bit might be years, a little bit might be months. It depends on the situation. But we go to those great lengths just to extend that life. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. Now, I'm going to throw in here too that the word there that gets translated as life could be soul or life. But if you combine that with the idea in verse 34, denying yourself and take up your cross, then what does it really mean here? What does he mean to save your life? Well, I think we're going back to the ambitions and the desires that we just talked about from verse 34. If your desire and your focus is on your own life, then you're not going to be able to attain that which Jesus is offering, that true life, that eternal life, that life abundantly. So where's our true focus? Are we trying to be true disciples? Or are we trying to maybe have our cake and eat it too? We can claim to be a disciple, but we don't quite make the transition over to allowing Jesus to be the king of our life. Verse 36 and 37, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul?" So we add this thought in on top of the previous two verses, and we realize that if I chase my own desires, and let's just say that I get everything that I want, You know, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's fame, maybe it's, you know, success, people, family, kids. I mean, all sorts of things. Just greatest attainment in your hobbies, whatever it might be, whatever your desires are. Let's just say that you get all of it. Is it worth it if you lose your eternal soul? If you lose your standing with God so that you're separated from Him for all time, is that worth it? Well, it's a rhetorical question. It's not worth it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And for what can a man give in return for his soul? You can't. You can't buy it back. You can't, you know, pay away the penalties. Jesus is the only one that's able to do that. Verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed. That is, same as Matthew words it in Matthew 10, 32, 33, that we must be willing to confess His name, confess Him before men. And that means that I confess Him with the way that I live my life. Following the ambition and the desire of my king instead of myself. Well, after this, he says there's going to be those that are standing there that will not taste death till the kingdom of God comes with power. That's the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then you have the transfiguration. Mark writes it a little differently than other gospel accounts of this particular situation. But the crux of the matter is the same. And so I can understand Peter, James, and John being terrified with what they see. You know, you see something that is truly incredible, that is beyond human understanding and is beyond any human capability. You know, there can be some amazement, but also some fear. And out of that amazement and fear, Peter opens his mouth and says something unwise. He says, let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now, first of all, that puts Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all on the same level. That's not true. Jesus is definitely higher than any prophet. So this might show a little bit of misunderstanding on Peter's part about who Jesus is, even though we have seen him confess that he's the Son of God. Maybe he hasn't worked all this out in his mind yet. Is Peter saying something that James and John wouldn't go along with? Again, we don't know that, but most of the disciples seem to have a lot of the same maturity levels as far as understanding what Jesus was telling them. So they're probably all thinking something similar. They're wanting to honor those who they see, and we can understand that too. You know, if God places such a special significance on Moses and Elijah to put them in that position with Jesus, then, you know, the rationalizing through that would be, okay, so we need to honor them too. And I think that's what Peter's trying to do. But it says he did not know what to say. Have you ever had those moments in which you're so shocked by something, you don't know what to say? I think that's Peter in this moment. And, of course, the silence of heaven is broken. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Placing the significance on Jesus. Then, as they're coming down, he says, don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Now, here's where Peter probably ought to be opening up his mouth and asking a question, but instead, they wonder about it themselves instead of asking. It states that they were questioning what the rising from the dead might mean. Now, Jesus knows that, but still, I would think that this is the moment Peter should open his mouth, but he does not do so. And of course, they ask this final question about Elijah, and he says, Elijah has come, and that was John the Baptist coming in the spirit of Elijah. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all. Please remember those that are mourning loss of loved ones at this time.